You have your Bibles. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23 this morning. Ever wanted something so bad that you were convinced you needed it? You're working outside. It's hot. I need that 32-ounce Dr. Pepper. I need it. Yes? I really need that new pair of shoes. I need that new set of golf clubs. Because if I had them, it wouldn't change my game at all. I need. And the reality is, these things we think we need, if we didn't get them, we would still live. It wouldn't really change our lives at all. We live in a world today where so many of the things we say we need are really just wants. But if we don't get those things that we think we need, we feel deprived, don't we? I'm missing out on something. I was driving down 84th Street a week or so ago, and I saw this really cool-looking convertible. I need that. No. Truth be told, there aren't very many things we actually need. We would probably say, at minimum, we need food, clothing, and shelter, right? The Apostle Paul reduced that down. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, he says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Wow. Food and clothing. When we're in the wilderness, and we're talking about wilderness, our list of needs, quote unquote, seems to grow, doesn't it? And especially this need, I need to get out of the wilderness. And really, that's just a want. Could it be that in the wilderness, we have everything we need, even if we don't have all we want? Over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the wilderness and how God might use the wilderness in our lives. And we've learned a couple things about the wilderness. Number one, we've learned that God uses the wilderness to humble us, to test us, and to teach us. Last week, we learned additionally that our wilderness moments can be a faith witness. It can be a testimony to someone else of true faith in the shepherd who leads us in the midst of wilderness. Over the last 2 weeks, I've shown you several photos of the wilderness, and specifically the wilderness of Judea, the area that we have been to at different times in Israel. And one of the things that we can deduce after looking at some of those photos is this, that in the wilderness, it's a place that lacks everything. There's nothing there. It's sand and it's stones and it's caves. It's barren. But what if we could discover that when we're in the wilderness, it's actually a place that lacks nothing? What if? This morning, I'm going to turn your attention once again to David. the Old Testament king. We know several things about him, and let me just give you a listing of the things we know about David. We know he was born in Bethlehem. That's where he was from. We read a little bit about that last week. We know that he had seven brothers. David was the youngest of all of these brothers. We know that he was a shepherd. I found it kind of interesting about him being a shepherd. The tradition over there in Palestine in that day was that the youngest in the family typically was the one who was sent out with the sheep. And so as the family increased, the older one had other assignments, and the younger one would be sent out into the fields. And that's where we found David last week, as Samuel comes to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king. The youngest was out in the field with the sheep. We know this about David. He killed a giant whose name was Goliath. He killed him with what? AK-47. No. Well, that was the AK-47 of Palestine, all right? We know David was a great warrior. He went out to battle, and he was victorious in his battles. We know he was the second king of Israel. We had Saul, we had David, and then we had Solomon. And these three served as king over the entirety of the nation of Israel. And if just a quick Bible lesson, after Solomon passed on, his son Rehoboam became king, and the kingdom was divided between the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. And just for clarification, the northern kingdom, 10 tribes out of the 12, was called Israel, the kingdom of Israel. The southern two tribes were called the kingdom of Judah. So as you read through the kings, when you find the king of Judah or the king of Israel, understand that even though it's all one nation, it's divided in two, and Israel is the north and Judah is the south. We know that David wrote more than half of the Psalms. We typically look at the book of Psalms and say, well, David wrote the Psalms. He wrote the majority of them. His most famous one is what? The 23rd Psalm, also called the Shepherd's Psalm. And that's where we're going to focus our attention this morning in this message I've entitled Wilderness Without Warning. I would like for you to watch this video clip and listen to the 23rd Psalm. Let me tell you the setting. The setting is filmed in the wilderness of Judea, just south and a little bit east of Jerusalem. So that's the setting of the 23rd Psalm. Watch and listen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me
in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Understanding the wilderness, as we've tried to share with you, you see the barrenness of it. And you look at it and you wonder, where did the sheep get anything to eat? Did you notice on some of the video the lines going back and forth across the sides of the hills? Those are paths. Instead of the shepherd just leading them straight down, the shepherd would lead the sheep in a more safe way back and forth. And the animals have worn those paths back and forth down the hillside. David, as we have mentioned, was a shepherd. We know that based upon what we've read in the scriptures. And David had a huge responsibility, as did every shepherd. We know that the shepherd had a responsibility to provide for the sheep. They had to provide water and they had to provide nourishment. They're looking for the grass. They're looking for that place that the sheep could get something that would sustain them for a day. We also know that a shepherd needed to lead the sheep and protect the sheep. And he wasn't going to lead them down a dangerous passageway. He wasn't going to just plunge them headlong down the mountain, down the hillside. Instead, he would lead them in a gentle path. He was there to protect the sheep from the wild animals. We know David had the two different times when a bear and a lion attacked the flock, and David killed those beasts. That was the shepherd's responsibility. We also know that the shepherd had to be equipped to care for the physical needs of the sheep or for injuries when they would occur. And David understood all of this because he was a shepherd. We don't know the circumstances of the 23rd Psalm. There is question, did he write this while he was still a shepherd? Did he write the 23rd Psalm as he was a king? I kind of take the view that he was a king when he wrote this, and maybe one day, using my holy imagination, David is out looking over his kingdom, and not far from Jerusalem, you run into the Judean wilderness. And so maybe he is out and he's near the wilderness and he sees a flock of sheep and a shepherd, and he begins to reminisce about his life as a shepherd. And as he's watching, maybe he had an aha moment. I'm like those sheep. I need a shepherd. I need a guide through life like I guided my sheep. And then the real aha moment, he says, the Lord. That's who my shepherd is. He's the one who guides me. He's the one who leads me. And maybe it's out of those thoughts that this psalm was written. We don't know. We just know the author and we know what he did. Now, some of you maybe are asking yourself this question. Why are you using Psalm 23 when you're talking about the wilderness? Because the word wilderness or desert is not mentioned anywhere in this psalm. Good question. Here's what we know. Historically and biblically, shepherds spent a lot of time in the wilderness to find food and water. It was a place that was familiar with the shepherd and familiar to the sheep as well. We also have record in the scripture in 1 Samuel 17:28 that David was keeping the sheep in the wilderness. His oldest brother asked him this question when David came down to check out what was going on and ultimately defeated Goliath. Eliab asked this question, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert?" We know David was in the desert at some point. And we, as we read the language of this particular psalm, we find the necessity for guiding the sheep. We find looking for still waters and green pastures. The language speaks to us of the wilderness. It talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And so we know that the shepherds spent much time in the wilderness. That's why we're using this. And no doubt, as David is writing this psalm, he's thinking about the still waters, the green pastures, and maybe how God has guided him and nourished him and provided for him. Maybe whenever he thought about the valley of the shadow of death, he remembered the time when the lion or the bear came out, and his experiences there shaped this particular imagery. As David reflected over his life as a shepherd, it seems that he understood two things, and we want to share those with you this morning. First, he understood that he needed a shepherd. As he observed perhaps these sheep being led by a shepherd, he just was reminded about how much he needed a shepherd. And then as we read through the psalm, he understood this, that with the shepherd, as long as he's with the shepherd, he had everything he needed. I wonder, could we apply these two thoughts to our lives? Do we need a shepherd? Do we understand that when the shepherd is with us, or we're with the shepherd, that we have everything we need? There is no question in my mind, as we look at our lives, that we need a shepherd. Let me ask you this. Who is your shepherd? Who do you turn to for guidance in life? When you're in those desert moments, the wilderness of life, those difficult experiences, who is your shepherd? Do you seek the Lord, or are you seeking someone else to give you guidance, to walk with you? Folks, each of us need a shepherd as we journey through life. We need to be, as David was, confident and say, "The Lord, He's my shepherd." And you may ask this question, but if the Lord is my shepherd, can I expect anything? What can I expect if the Lord is my shepherd? When we walk through this psalm, we will discover what we can expect if we put Him as the shepherd of our life. First of all, we discover this. The good shepherd will provide refreshment. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." The idea here is that of refreshment. You're the sheep. Can you imagine the pictures, the images that we've seen? They're walking across the hot desert, and here and there they find the grass that they need, and it's refreshing to them. The shepherd is leading them to the next place and the next place. They're not getting what they need for tomorrow. They're getting what they need for when? Today. That's how our shepherd wants to lead us. He refreshes us just when we need it. He provides nourishment, sustaining exactly when we need it. If the Lord is our shepherd, the good shepherd will provide refreshment. We also find that the good shepherd will calm our souls. He says, "He restores my soul." In the midst of your wilderness, do you ever find yourself anxious, worrying, troubled? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to get out of this? What's next? And our souls just become anxious. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and He calms my soul. He sustains me. He gives me the strength that I need to take one step at a time." Maybe we could use the word peace. Did you know that we can be at peace even in the wilderness? We can be at peace in the wilderness because He restores our souls. Remember what Jesus said in John? He says in the Gospel of John, "My peace I give you." Another writer in the scripture says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Philippians 4, "Don't be anxious about anything." How can we not be anxious in the midst of the wilderness? The Lord is my what? Shepherd. And He calms my soul. We also can expect this from the good shepherd in our wilderness. The good shepherd will give direction. Verse 3, second half, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He guides me in paths of righteousness. The imagery here is of the best paths for our life. Did you notice I didn't say the easiest path? Don't you wish God would just guide you down the easiest path and everything's cool? Sometimes he leads us down some pretty difficult places, but they're the right paths. No doubt the shepherds in the wilderness led their sheep down some paths that if it were up to the sheep, they may be going, I really don't want to go this way, but the shepherd knew that was the best way for them at that moment. When we are in our wilderness, the main thing that often comes to mind is, where do I turn? Where do I go from here? What is the next step? What am I supposed to do? Like sheep, you and I need direction, and especially in the wilderness moments. I found this interesting. In those days, in the time of Christ and in back to David's time, the shepherds in Palestine walked in front of their sheep, not behind them. They didn't drive them, they led them. Think about this for a moment. If the shepherd is leading the sheep, who experiences the pathway first? The shepherd or the sheep? The shepherd does. The shepherd goes before them. If there's danger, the shepherd will experience it first. The shepherd is aware of what the sheep are going to face. Think about this. If the Lord is our shepherd, leading us, giving us direction, he goes down the pathway ahead of us. He knows what we're going to face before we get there. Nothing surprises him. Because he's walked the pathway ahead of us. And so what is our responsibility then? To follow. Instead of wandering around, going our own direction, doing our own thing, if we follow the shepherd, he will lead us down a proper and right path, and he knows what's ahead of us before we do. Note this. If I am walking close to the shepherd, I don't have to guess or stress about his will, where he's going, what my next step is. If I am following the shepherd, he's ahead of me. If he turns left, I go left. If he turns right, I go right. We get so caught up with what's the Lord's will? What's the Lord's will? If I follow the shepherd, he guides me step by step. And all I have to do is follow where he leads. That doesn't sound too complicated, does it? But we make that so complicated. Did you notice the next phrase? For his name's sake. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I think I had mentioned maybe last week that a shepherd's reputation was on the line. Did he come back with the sheep he left with? Was he careless about the sheep? Let me tell you, our good shepherd's reputation is on the line. He knows it. And he leads us in paths of righteousness for his reputation. And could I just tell you this about our shepherd? He's never lost a sheep. Never. He's never failed to take care of his sheep. He's never careless with the sheep. He has an impeccable reputation for providing for his sheep. We can expect the good shepherd to give direction. Next, we find this. The good shepherd walks with us in the difficult times. Even though, he says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Probably, death is one of the most difficult times we'll ever face. Nobody wants to die. It's challenging. It's interesting that David talks about the valley of the shadow of death. One author I was reading after focused on the word shadow. A shadow has the appearance of danger, doesn't it? But there's no substance to it. Can a shadow hurt you? Okay, are we tracking? Can a shadow hurt you? No. But the shadow will indicate that danger or something is close enough to cast its shadow on you. But the shadow itself won't hurt you. If we're with the shepherd, when the shadow comes, and boy, you know, sometimes in the dark, we see a lot of things, don't we? We see the boogerman in the dark. But the shadow is just a shadow, and with the shepherd with us, we don't have to be afraid. Even though danger may be near, the shadow won't hurt us. The shepherd will protect us. We can expect the shepherd to walk with us in the difficult times. Then note this. The good shepherd protects and guides. He protects and guides. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As I did a little bit of reading on this, the rod was more of a like a club that was used for protection. And the staff was more for guidance. Often it would have a little crook in it. And so if a little lamb or a sheep falls somewhere, the shepherd could pull it back up to him. So we have a combination of protection and guiding. One author was talking about the sheep and how the shepherd would often use his staff counting the sheep as they came in. The sheep would come under the staff and he counted each one as they went by. Folks, you and I can expect that our good shepherd will protect us and guide us. His rod and staff, says, they comfort me. If you know the shepherd's got the weapon, the rod, he's got the staff, why fear? There's comfort there. Then he goes on and we learn this, that the good shepherd cares for us. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Some authors suggest that David has changed his imagery now to that of a host and a guest. Possibly. But there's also this idea of care. He's providing in the midst of, well, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In those challenging moments, in those wilderness moments when it seems like everybody's against you, it's almost like he's saying, and we can still party in the midst of that. This is a banquet. This shepherd is providing everything I need. If it's an imagery of host and guest, the tradition was that when a guest came into your home, you anointed their head with fragrant oil and you gave them a nice refreshing glass of wine. It's like, just relax. You're here. I'm going to protect you. I'm taking care of you. So whether it's the imagery of that or whether it's just simply David's way of saying, our shepherd has an incredible way of making every sheep feel special because he cares for us in incredible and extravagant ways. The good shepherd cares for us. If the Lord is our shepherd, he cares for us. We read in, I believe it's in 1 or 2 Peter, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. In Psalm, I believe it's 55, it says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. This is what our shepherd does. This is what we can expect if the Lord is our shepherd. And then we learn this. The good shepherd gives reason for confidence. David concludes this psalm, verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I thought about what David was saying, surely goodness and love or surely goodness and mercy will follow me, it seems like David is saying this. This wilderness moment that I'm in, it's good for me. It's my shepherd is letting me go through this because he loves me, because he's merciful to me. He's good to me. How many times do we view our wilderness moment as good? Do we view the good shepherd as being good to us and loving to us when we walk through those wilderness moments? David says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And then he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My interpretation of this is, I'm in the desert now. I'm in the wilderness. But there's coming a day when my wilderness experience will be over and the shepherd's going to take me home. And I'm going to be with him forever. And there was this whole picture of confidence of David in the shepherd that he will be with the good shepherd after this life, after the wilderness experiences, he will be with the good shepherd forever. Forever. Let me ask you, do you have that kind of faith in the shepherd? Do you have that kind of trust and hope in the shepherd that he will provide refreshment, that he will calm your soul, that he will give direction, that he will walk with you in the difficult times, that he protects and guides, that he cares for you, and now I can have confidence because of that? Is that your level of faith and trust? If not, I ask, who's your shepherd? Because the good shepherd provides all of that. Two observations and we'll be done. Number one, I want to encourage you with this. Though your desert is real, though the wilderness moments truly happen and they're painful, though we may not understand why we have to walk through what we're walking through, could I assure you that your wilderness is not a forever location? The sheep get home. The shepherd makes sure they get home. So whatever you're dealing with this morning, whatever you are facing, you are not alone. Your shepherd is with you. He's guiding you all along the way, and you will not be in the wilderness forever. It is not your forever location. Second observation. If the shepherd is with you, the wilderness lacks nothing. See, we just talked about what the shepherd will do. And so if he's providing all of that list that we just went over, do you need anything else? We might want some other things. But if the shepherd is with you and you're with him, your wilderness moment truly lacks nothing. That's what David says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He's not saying, I'm not going to want something. He's saying, I will lack for nothing. That's another way of saying what he has written. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. Because in the wilderness, I can find everything I need if I'm with the shepherd. So the question that you need to answer in your wilderness, are you with the shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Let's pray. Father, your word teaches us that you are our shepherd, you are our guide. David understood that. He understood that in the wilderness where it appears that there is a lack of everything, that as long as he was with the shepherd, he lacked nothing. Lord, when we're walking through our wilderness, it feels like we're lacking everything. It's painful. It's lonely. We don't know where to turn. Seems there's no end in sight. Would you call our attention back to the shepherd, to you, and help us to truly grasp the reality that The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not lack anything. Thank you for that reality, that in the wilderness you provide everything we need for each day, one day at a time. God, you are our shepherd. Lead us in your paths this day and each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.